Classrooms is a podcast celebrating the teachers of Albuquerque. My name is Kathy Wolf James, and I am a teacher in Albuquerque. I'm also the editor and host of Pineapple Classrooms. This week on the podcast, we are diving into a topic that is very important to me. And as I started doing some research for this podcast, I found that it's very important to a lot of other teachers in Albuquerque. We are talking about teacher burnout this week, which is a big, heavy topic full of layers, but I think it's important for us to have those conversations about this topic so we can prevent teacher burnout, but also advocate better for ourselves and for our students. So welcome to Pineapple Classrooms. Talking about teacher burnout, I feel like the right place to start is talking about my own experience with it. I think about this topic every time an excellent teacher leaves the profession. I think about the amazing teachers I've worked with who exemplify what it means to be a teacher who advocates for their students, who is passionate about their job, who is exceptional at it. And when they leave the profession, it feels gut-wrenching. For me, just as a person who feels a loss of, you know, our community, what we're losing in that moment. But for that person, it can feel like relief. And I can say that because I've been on both sides of it. In my third year teaching, halfway through, I felt like this is the year that breaks me. This is the year where I stop being a teacher. And it's so demoralizing. And you feel so awful and guilty for feeling this way because we sign up for this career because we care about the future, because we want to make a difference. But when you feel like you have nothing else to give, it's like you weren't good enough. And I'm also like not good enough as a person for that not to matter so that I can push through. And usually it's the nonsense, the things in the career that aren't really teaching that pushes over the edge of feeling like we can handle the stress, like we can handle the hoops that we jump through and the agony that is teaching. When we're talking about teacher burnout, we're talking about the side of the coin that isn't as shiny and bright and happy as the good days are. So this topic is important to me because I've seen a lot of exceptional teachers leave the profession, not because they weren't great teachers, but because they didn't have the support they needed to succeed. And that comes in lots of different forms. So thank you for listening to that particular aspect of my story. For me, it was feeling like you're at the end of your line, thinking that you don't have the strategies to deal with your particular class for a particular student, that you're failing each day you go to your job. And no teacher should feel like that. And I think it's when we aren't there for each other, when we aren't going out of our ways to help one another, that it's possible for a person to feel that way. And there's no blame assigned to it. We get to the point in the school year where it's go, go, go. And it can be really hard for me, a teacher, overwhelmed, to take the time to look up and check in on my neighbor. I think that if there's a lesson to learn from teacher burnout, it's that we should always look up and that it's worth the time to check in with the teachers around you, but it's also worth the time for your sake as well because it hits all of a sudden, teacher burnout. You could feel good to go, like you can handle the stress in each day. And then one day it's too much. So feeling like you have had the support all along, and it's not something that one day you ask for. It's something you've had all along. And to make that work, you have to foster it throughout the year. But then also as a teacher who's next door, it's something you need to constantly work on as well. So while I definitely have a connection to teacher burnout as a personal issue and affecting people that I know and I'm close to and also myself, it's also this issue that affects our larger education system. When you lose a teacher halfway through the year, it has an impact on the quality of education for the students in that classroom. Even when the teacher leaves midway through the year, there can be a long-term substitute. There can be a situation where a new teacher is coming in and they're faced with this new adversity that makes their job even harder to do. And if you talk to teachers who are in the field in this current system, there are so many things that overwhelm us. So whenever you add on any acute stressors, it becomes more challenging to do the job and to do it well and to do it in a way that allows for longevity in the career. But when we're talking about the larger impact of teacher attrition, it's not just this issue that I know very well personally, but it impacts the quality of education for our students. And furthermore, it impacts the quality of education disproportionately for minority students. We see that there's a higher attrition rate in classrooms that serve higher poverty students. And this is put out by the Learning Policy Institute in a study that they did. And in a study they did, an article they released this August, and I'll link it on the blog, Minority Teacher Recruitment, Employment, and Retention from 1987 to 2013. It's looking at many facets of the experience of being a minority teacher. But one thing that they hit on in the article that I found very interesting is that the attrition rate for minority teachers is higher than it is for their colleagues. And one of the things that they talk about in the article is how these teachers often work at a higher rate in schools that are serving more minority students and they're serving higher poverty students, where there are often stressors that don't come along with working in other public schools. And if you are a teacher who works at a school, Title I school or high poverty rate, you know that there are policy changes that come about, that there are different stressors that go along with the job of teaching our most vulnerable populations. And then when we start to look at teacher attrition, it absolutely becomes a social justice issue. And we have to look at how minority students are disproportionately affected and why this is such an important issue to increase the quality of education for all students everywhere. Looking at teaching in New Mexico, this study put out by the Learning Policy Institute in September of 2016, which I was talking about earlier, and I'll include a link in the blog, they looked at multiple facets of education to come up with a state-by-state analysis of teaching attractiveness. And looking at New Mexico in particular, the teaching attractiveness rating is on their scale, 2.18 from 1 to 5, and it's one of the lowest in the country. Some of the numbers that struck me looking at this is the percentage of, in teacher turnover rating, the percentage of teachers who left school or profession was 23.2% for New Mexico compared to the national average of 14.2%. This number does include teachers who are retiring, but when we're looking at a number that is so significantly elevated, we're looking at a lot of factors that are causing this mass exodus of professionals from the field. And at a time when the need for teachers is so high, I was looking at, as of today, Monday, September 11th, 2017, the numbers for how many open jobs there are on the Albuquerque Public Schools website. I'm just kind of blown away. It's about 170 positions that are open, including special education, elementary school, middle school, and high school. And that number does not include some of the fine arts, librarian, those other teachers who are also very important. So when we're looking at, there's such a high need, and we're losing teachers at this level that's so elevated compared to the national average. And we know that there's like this national problem, but in New Mexico in particular, and why is this such a huge challenge that the teachers in our state are facing? I think we really need to reach out to each other and to start listening to one another to find the source of that issue. So I did just that. I reached out to several teachers who teach throughout Albuquerque Public Schools, asking them the question of, what are the stresses in your job? How do you approach those stresses? And, you know, do you have advice for other teachers who are facing similar issues? And I believe that teacher burnout has a solution. And there are multiple solutions. But the biggest one, the one that I have control over, is reaching out to the teacher next door to me and down the hall and providing that support to other professionals. So the first teacher whose advice I'm going to share right now is a teacher who I began teaching with at the same time we both started our first years together. This is Elise Burlingame, who teaches second grade at Hawthorne Elementary. Elise talks about the most stressful part of her job, and she says, "I think the most stressful part of my job is finding time to fit everything in. I want to make sure I honor my students' time and teach them all that they need. Sometimes making all that work can be stressful." I think Elise hits on a very important point, which is that we have so many different people that we're working to, whose needs we're working to meet, and chief amongst all of them is our students' needs. And that in and of itself is a challenge. It's why we go to school to train for this job. It's why we spend so much time being educated in this field, why we do observations. It is the why. And that is stressful enough. But there's a lot of other aspects that go into it that make it challenging for us to meet our students' needs. Sometimes our hands are tied and we have to follow certain policies that prevent us from helping our students. Sometimes it's the time constraint. It's trying to fit in every standard before the test comes, before XYZ. We only have a year with our students, and that time crunch feels like a lot. So the job in and of itself, at its core, when you strip away all the other aspects, is a stressful job. And feeling like you have to meet all of their needs, and that if you're not, you're not really doing your job, is a reality that a lot of teachers face. There's also a seasonal component to our stress for teachers. Elise Burlingame says, "I think I feel most stressed at the beginning and the end of the year. In the beginning, I don't notice as much because I'm excited about having a new class, but worried about how to organize everything and what I need to change to fit their needs. At the end of the year, there is so much going on and so much to do. Trying to make sure all the testing is done and report cards and CUME folders and everything else that comes up at the end of the year is stressful and tiring." I think the wave of stress that comes at the beginning and end is really important that Elise is hitting on. Those aspects drain you. And you can't be drained at the end because there's still more left. We need to have energy for our lives. We need to have energy at the beginning of the year, for September, for October. And I just know that every teacher I talk to, that Labor Day holiday is the point that we all race to so that we can have like a moment to breathe, catch our breath, and get ready for another marathon. And so really taking care in those times that we know are the most stressful, that we are taking care of ourselves and checking in on others, is critical. I'd like to add on to that, that another teacher in APS, Justin Kesselring, who is a fifth grade teacher at Zuni Elementary, finds the beginning of the year to be the most stressful time too. Justin says, he's also stressed around evaluation time rolls around, but I feel pretty stressed at the beginning of the year. There's so much work to be done. And it can feel like a mountain. I agree with Justin and Elise. When you start adding the other things to the job, adding on the evaluation component, adding these extra things that aren't at the core of teaching, but have become essential to our jobs, for our job security even at times, it leads to those moments of burnout for a lot of teachers. I can think of one teacher in particular who, after 3 years of teaching, decided to leave because of the evaluation was just too much. It wasn't what they felt they signed up for, and it felt like the item that was going to push them over. And so we know that that's hard. And so then again, what am I doing in those times for myself and for my fellow teachers to lessen the burden? But there has to be more to this solution than just us reaching out to one another and having those conversations and being support. Mike Ramirez is a teacher of the gifted at Janet Kahn Elementary School, and his narrative, I feel, speaks to this a little bit more. He says, I have found that after about 5 or 6 years of teaching, that I was a better teacher when I did not stay super late or go in super early all the time. While there is a time and place when it is necessary to put in lots of extra time outside of the typical duty day, it should not be the norm. I am more energized during actual teaching time, whereas before my lessons may have been perfectly planned, but I found that I did not have the energy and focus to be at the top of my game. Being kind to yourself and making sure that you devote time to things outside of your practice makes you a more whole person and ultimately a better teacher. Justin also provides an interesting perspective. He says, as a teacher, I will never get everything done because everything can always be done better. To keep myself from constantly pursuing every idea, I prioritize my to-do list, set a time to leave work, and never take work home. I think Mike and Justin both hit on the idea of just being kind but also honest, which is that it's impossible to get it all done. So what do? Do we spend as much time as we can getting as much possible done? Or do we think long-term that I myself as a teacher will not be in this profession very long if I continue to burn the candle at both ends? We have to allow time to recharge, to get our minds off the job so we can have the energy to be exceptional. Elise also offers some really solid advice with how she manages stress. She says, to manage stress, I talk to my team members or a friend, just someone I can kind of unload and let it all out on or with. I spend time with my family without doing anything school related. I do yoga and exercise to help relieve my stress. And sometimes, if I'm lucky, I'll do some shopping. I find the exercise suggestion to be probably the most helpful. There are so many studies that have been done, and I'll link one of my favorites about exercise and what it does for our bodies and minds to really help us be better at what we love, but be better, more focused professionals. So thank you, Elise and Justin and Mike, for sharing that advice. The last piece of advice that they each gave that I'm going to share with you today is advice for new teachers. The attrition rate with new teachers is the highest. I remember being a new teacher, and a veteran teacher looked at me and said, I would never encourage a new like college grad to pursue teaching. And my heart sank. I couldn't understand it. I had no idea. And it was a really sad moment when I remembered those words and I thought, I feel the same way. And I think providing better support to new teachers makes it different. I know it's hard. I think we can all empathize with what it was like if we think back. Elise's advice for a new teacher is take time for yourself. Don't worry if you don't get it all done. There's always the next day. Ask for help. Teachers are some of the most helpful people I know, and we have all been there. So please ask. Try not to take work home. Get it done at work and set a time limit, then go home. Relax and do what makes you feel better. I think that's really important. Do what makes you feel better, because in those first years, there can be a lot of days where you go home and you just are emotionally drained. Justin's advice for a new teacher is you don't need to do it all your first year. Set reasonable goals. Reflect on everything you do and don't be afraid to ask questions. I think reflection is really critical, and I agree with Justin on that. As far as setting reasonable goals, I think really reasonable goals for a new teacher is just like survive. make it to the end of each day while being reflective, and learning how to build supports around you is so critical. So thank you to the amazing teachers who opened up their practice for this discussion and conversation to happen. But it doesn't end here. I think the next step is to really open your door and to ask people about their days and to truly listen, because without that other component of listening to one another, can we really help each other? And sometimes helping each other is just listening. We don't have to have all the solutions here together, but knowing that we're there as support for one another makes all the difference. Also, thank you, my listeners, for being brave with this big, heavy topic and listening to some ideas that exist out there. The component that goes along with today's podcast on the blog is an inventory for you to look over, to think, where am I in the burnout danger zone, so to speak, and some warning signs for teachers who are next door to you. I view it as a quick checklist of, do I see any signs? And if so, what can I do to help? When you see teachers who withdraw who were once more active, it's a warning sign. When you see teachers who've lost their spark, it's a warning sign. And at this point in the year, we are in mid-September. This is where you look down at the months ahead. And if you're not excited and if you're not jazzed, that's a warning sign. So please go to the blog, look through the inventory, take a moment to be reflective. I think that Justin's advice for new teachers is good for teachers across the board. Always be reflective, always be thinking, and just know how critical it is for us to talk about burnout, for us to prevent burnout, for quality of education, but as a social justice issue, and also just for your own well-being and the well-being of teachers around you. This is something that we as teachers can take ownership of and work towards in our own small ways. So thank you for your willingness to stick with this topic, to listen through to the end. I know it was a heavy topic, but also, as always, when you open up your door to talk to your neighbor, even when it's about something like this, you are a pineapple classroom. You are celebrating teaching, and you're working towards protecting the profession, because we need it. We need you. So have a great week. Thank you for listening to this week's episode. We can be found many places on the internet, including pineappleclassrooms.com. We are on Twitter and Instagram. And as always, you can subscribe to this podcast in the Apple, like if you have an iPhone, the iTunes app. We're also on Google Play, and you can also listen to the episode through the link on the website. Have a great week. Bye.